the passage selected for the sermon is taken from the gospel, the second reading, which is also the gospel for this morning. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, and having not a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king to the servants said to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't like to think of God in his role as our judge. It's okay to think of God as the role of other people's judge, but we don't really like it when we think of him as our judge. And these gospel accounts that cast him in that light are terrifying to us, as they should be. But the purpose of this particular parable is not to scare us. The purpose of this parable is actually about love. And it may seem hard to understand that from a casual reading, but we'll go through it and you'll see that really it is a revelation of love, because what this parable is about is what is important to God. And what's important to God are two simple things, the two great commandments, that we should love him with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourself. And this parable, as harsh as it sounds, is really just a call for us to understand how it is that we need to fulfill his commandments. The first part of the parable isn't so awful to our ears. We recognize that these ingrates are the Pharisees, or perhaps the Jews of the first century, or perhaps those Jews who made that molten calf. They're the ones who are not appreciative of the invitation by the king. But the truth is that those men who didn't come were good subjects of the king. At least they would be good judging by men's standards and judging by the law. In St. Luke's account of this same parable, he goes into more specifics and talks about the fact that these men didn't come because one of them was proving a new land that he had bought, new property. The other one was proving a new set of beasts that he was going to use in his field, draft beasts. And the third one was preparing for his own marriage. Actually, each of these excuses are absolutely acceptable under the Mosaic law. They are reasonable excuses to avoid the requirements of Sabbath duty. And so it is only by the eye of God that these men can be judged as unprofitable servants, because by the eye of man and by the eye of the law, they're doing everything that they need to do. And of course, that's where it applies to us, isn't it? Because we all think of ourselves as good Christians, as good servants of the king, and that we all are doing what we should do when it's our turn to honor the Sabbath and to give God his due. And of course, we don't do that good a job of it. We come reluctantly to church sometimes. We come to church without the right feeling in our heart. If you look at our society today, it's hard to even understand that we've set aside a time for God at all. We look at Sundays as a day in which we catch up on the chores that we can't get to during the week. We make fun of the guys across the road that left off coming to church so they could get a good tea time. And yet what's happened in Baltimore is that people are practicing lacrosse and soccer with their children's teams on Sundays. The day is no longer set aside for God. It's just another day to go after the regular routine of everyday life. We aren't as good as we need to be in setting aside time for God and making his worship the number one and most important thing of our lives. And when we do come, we come sometimes half-heartedly. Sometimes we don't come because we're tired. Sometimes we don't come because those people that we think are hypocrites are going to be there. Sometimes we don't come because there will be people there that we know demand a lot of us, people who are needy and who want our attention and whom we don't have the patience for. There's a lot of reasons that we fail to make honoring God our very first duty of the first day of the week. And none of them are acceptable. Like these men that refuse to come to the feast, it may not be unacceptable in the eyes of man's law, but squirming through loopholes to avoid our duty to God is very clear in his mind. It's not acceptable. And even when we do manage to come to church on Sunday, do we really start the rest of the week giving what we're supposed to give to God? Because what are we supposed to give to God? The first breath of the day, the first thought of the day. We should get up and say thanks to God and give him praise. But instead, we wake up with the worry of the day, with the schedule on our mind, with all the busyness of our life as the first thing that we think of instead of God. And as a result, we don't get back to thinking about God, because once you start on the worry of the day, it chokes out our ability to go back and put God in that day at all. And we all suffer from this. I know myself. With my business, I worry about the payroll, and I worry about stealing some time from God to get ready for the week. And of course, that's not acceptable. And we all have these tendencies to take time from God to do those things that are important for us. And we have to examine our consciences and be determined that we're not going to do that. So we can accept that maybe we can do better in our fidelity to coming to church and to giving the Lord's day back to the Lord. But then you say, Father Mike, what about the second part of this terrible parable, where this poor guy that couldn't afford a tuxedo gets singled out, tossed out of the wedding, and sent to where there is darkness and gnashing of teeth? That sounds pretty horrible. How can we serve a God who is going to treat us that way? And we think of that because we don't know the custom of the time. We don't understand the context of the history. The man wasn't being punished because he couldn't afford a tuxedo. In fact, the custom was that the king, the host of the feast, provided the wedding garment. It was already there. It was offered to the man when he went into the feast. He had to intentionally turn down the wearing of that garment, to turn down the act of charity, of kindness, of appreciation of the king in order to get into the feast without it. And that puts it in a different light, doesn't it? It's not that the guy couldn't afford his tuxedo. It's that he refused to put it on when it was offered to him. And of course he had nothing to say for himself when he was confronted about it, any more than the rest of us would have if we failed to put on the garment that's provided for us. And of course we have a garment that is provided for us, because the second part of the parable is also about how we keep the two great commandments. It's about the second great commandment, how it is that we can love each other as we love ourselves. This garment that we have, our wedding garment, is the power of the Holy Ghost to give us the grace to love one another. That's the wedding garment. Because even when we show up, if while we're here, we're preoccupied with what needs to go on when we leave, or we haven't opened our hearts to forgiving those people that are around us that have done us wrong, or if we're impatient and quick with people that need us, those people that talk too much, that want too much of our time, that always have their hand out, those people that God gives us specifically to bless us if we don't give them the time that is set aside for them, then we are not keeping the second commandment. Because keeping the second commandment, loving each other, especially in relationship to how we worship God, is messy. It's chaotic. It is troubling. We want to think about worshiping God as having an intellectual discussion about theology, where we are lifted up to an understanding of the very nature of the Trinity. Or we want to think about worshiping God as a monastic stillness, where our meditations can transport us to this resonant relationship with God. But that's not what God asks us to do. God says, come as a community. Come as a communion. Come to the place where I put all the people that I want you to touch in your life. And love them. Forgive them. Be patient with them. Show me your appreciation for the gift of life that I have given you by the way you treat each other. And especially by the way you treat each other as you're giving worship to me. You know, we understand how commandments can be for our good. I mean, every one of us that has had children, except you guys there who will have children in your own day, understand when a parent says, don't put your tongue in the electrical socket. Don't put your hand on the stove. Those commandments are given to us in love, because not keeping those commandments brings grievous harm. The commandments that we love God, that we honor him on his Sabbath day, and that we love each other are given to us to keep us from grievous spiritual harm. Because when we let the worries of the day and the schedule and all the things that are not of God get into our life and put themselves in front of God for us, then we put ourselves at risk to the devil. We put ourselves at risk of being locked in this world with all of its problems and all of its scheduling. And what is worse than that we never get out of this? Because we never catch up. We never manage to pay all the bills. We never manage to have enough time. Is this the world that we want to honor? Or do we want to go to the world that is to come? Do we want to put on our garment, the power of the Holy Ghost, and transform from what we worry about in this life to enjoying the feast? Do we want to be part of having the love of Christ that is sacrificial in our hearts so that death is not our destination but merely the door to the feast? Do we want to be tied to the worries of this world, because that is what it means to be bound hand and foot and thrown out into the darkness where there is gnashing of teeth? It means being in a world where what we determine and what we want and what we worry about is first. And the only way to get out of that is to give to God what he wants. He doesn't ask that much, just to love him with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our mind, and to show that we love him by taking care of each other. If we do that, we go to the feast and we stay there forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.